2 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus is here, and if you remember, we talked about a little bit about the Christmas songs that we sing, and that one line in particular out of "Oh Come All You Faithful," where it says, "Come all you faithful, joyful and triumphant." You know, sometimes we don't feel very joyful, sometimes we don't feel very triumphant, and sometimes we're not very faithful. Amen. But that's who God came for. That's who Jesus came for. That's who he sent and why he sent his son. And so I want you guys to remember that. And then last week, man, Christopher did an amazing job. Amen? Yeah. An amazing job talking about impacting our culture and sharing Jesus with the people around us. And then today, man, what I'm going to talk about is why he came a little bit. You know, he came. Why he came. What he came for, and what our response should be to that. How many of you know, anytime you hear something from the Word of God, you hear it, and then there's an opportunity for you to respond to it, right? There's always that, and so today we're going to look at that, and there was a reason why he came here, there was a reason why he came and dwelt among us, and the first thing that we're going to talk about, the first thing in your notes is the birth of Jesus was good news for all people, for all people. How many of you know, it was good news for you. It was good news for me. There's a lot of controversy and things in the scripture where people think, he only came for certain people, or he didn't come for those people, or Jesus died so that everyone could have access to the Father. And this is the thing. The angel of the Lord in Luke 2, chapter 10, said, the angel of the Lord said to them, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for," everybody say it, "all people." All people. So there's some good news and some bad news for you in that. Are y'all ready? The good news is he came for you. But he also came for the people you don't care a whole lot for. I'm just being honest. He came for everybody. And his gift, what he came to do is here, not just so that a few people could have it, but so that everybody could have it. And the first thing that Jesus' birth brought to us was he brought light into the darkness of this world. How many of you have ever been someplace really, really dark where you couldn't see anything, right? Sometimes you can see a little bit, like if you close your eyes and it's really, and then you open it up, there's some kind of light. But have you ever been someplace where there's absolutely no light at all? Man, it gets scary. Like even being grown up, and I'm not afraid of the dark, it gets scary. Why? Because there's no light. But this is the thing. The smallest amount of light, the smallest amount of light in total darkness can illuminate everything. I remember when I was in the Navy and we were out to sea, there was no lights anywhere. That's the one bad thing about being in the city, right? When you try to look up and see the stars at night, you can't see them. Why? Because of the lights play such a big factor. And you wouldn't think that they do, but they do. You don't really understand how bright the light really is until you're in darkness. Until you're standing in darkness, you don't really understand what it really means, what it really looks like, how it really feels. And this is the thing, man. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The light of life. As we walk through life, man, sometimes it can get kind of dark. Sometimes it can get kind of scary. One of the things that darkness does is it provides hope, right? Because you can see where you're going and what you're doing. And that's the other thing. It sheds light on where you're at, and you're able to see what's going on around you, right? Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that can feel like a bad thing, right? It's like when you take all the drapes down at home, and then you can see it needs this done, and then you do this, but then you can see this needs to be done, and then you can see this needs to be done. Light constantly shows us imperfection in certain ways. Amen? And there's two ways we can look at that. We can look at it and look at all the imperfection, or we can look at it as, look what God's showing me so that I can be who he created me to be. Right? Sometimes we allow our imperfections to overwhelm us, and we got to understand at some point, some of those imperfections is what makes us us. Right? What makes me me? I talk a lot, y'all. Like, like not even when I'm up here, like when I'm at home, I talk a lot. That's why it works out with me and my wife, because she don't talk a lot and I talk all the time, right? So it kind of works. It's getting she's talking a lot more after the last 18 years. You know, she's more comfortable but our imperfections is what makes us who we are at times. But we ought to understand too that some imperfections, although we see them as imperfections, they're not. But then some things that we see in our lives are things that we need to change. The light of the world, man, Jesus shines a light on that. Jesus shines a light on the things that need to change in our heart and in our life. But it also gives us direction, allows us to see where we're going. When Jesus chose to lead the Israelites, what did he use? A pillar of fire, a light, right? At night, cloud in the daytime. To give them direction, to show them where they should go. He came so that we would not walk in darkness. You ever try to get up in the middle of the night and go somewhere and stub your toe on the end of something because you couldn't see it because it was dark? How many of you feel like you're doing that sometimes in life? Jesus came so we didn't have to do that. Jesus came so that we could walk in his light and not hide it. It's one of the things that Christopher said last week about hiding it under a bushel, right? That scripture. Did you say that? You didn't say it. Maybe that was Tuesday then. Sorry. Anyway, he didn't say it. But if he would have, it would have been really good with my message, y'all. Sorry. He said, I'll remember next time. One of the things that when you have a light, man, you don't hide it. When you have a light, you let it shine. You let people see it. And because of seeing it, what happens? People are changed. B, in your notes, man, Jesus' birth was necessary for our atonement. When you look at the scripture, well, let me read it first, man. Hebrews 2, 14 through 18. Since, therefore, the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same thing, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power over death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to long life slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. In reading that scripture, how many of you really honestly know what propitiation is? Don't be honest. I didn't really know, so I looked it up. That's what the Google machine's for, right? Propitiation means this. Propitiation is an action meant to regain someone's favor or to make up for something that you did wrong, right? So you might offer your mom a plate of chocolate chip cookies because you forgot to do what she told you to do earlier, and you're trying to make up for it, right? Y'all don't like chocolate chip cookies? Y'all looking very serious right now. Propitiation means that Jesus did what was necessary so that you and I could have forgiveness. Something that we couldn't do for ourselves, something that we weren't able to do. Because Adam sinned, we were born with a sinful nature. Christ came so that we could be free from that as a free gift from God. There's many passages in the scripture that talk about that, about how he freed us from that. Romans 3, 24 and 25 says, we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Here, the blood of Jesus shed on the cross is emphasized as we get to come into relationship with Christ, with Jesus, with God. He allows us to have access to him. The last thing, the number two in your notes, man, the birth of Jesus was the manifestation of God's grace. So it's God's grace in a package given to you and to me, a gift to us. Again, man, salvation is something we can't earn. Salvation is something that he gave to us. Salvation is a free gift that we just receive. Luke 2:11-14, it says this, it says, for unto you this day in the city of David, or for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel with a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased. Peace towards man. We are able to have access and peace in our lives because of what he's done for us. How many of you ever did something and you knew that it wasn't right and you were in turmoil until the person that you did it to actually forgave you, right? Your world was just turned up. The good news is man, we've done some stupid things in our lives, but God has forgiven us, man. Giving us a way to have peace in our life and to walk free from sin. Jesus came to take away the sin of the world. John 1:29 says, the next day he saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, this is talking about John the Baptist, he said, and behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The thing that I love about it is this. He doesn't take it and put it somewhere to the side so he can pull it up later and show it to me how messed up I am. Right? That's one of the things that love says in the scripture. It says it keeps no record of wrongs. So when I come and I ask for forgiveness and he takes it, the scripture says as far as the east is from the west. And you know, the only time that we have it is if we try and pull it back, right? Or hold on to it. You ever try to give somebody something and not truly let go of it? Here, you can have it. Here, no, you can have it. Just take it, right? Well, if you'd let go of it, I could have it, right? We do that sometimes. We need to understand that he came so that we could have life. Isaiah 53:5-6, but he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we've all messed up. According to Romans, we've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. We all do it. And he gave us Jesus so that we could come back. He gave us Jesus so that we didn't have to be frustrated or upset or worried, or we didn't have to stand back and say what I said so many times, man, all the things I've done, he could never forgive me. But he can. And he has. It's a gift that we have to accept. Jesus came to give us the gift of grace. Romans 5:15-17. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of grace, that is one man, Jesus Christ, abound for many. That is the gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abound for many. And the free gift is not like the rest, the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. God is good to us, man, and he's given us an opportunity to have freedom. And it's all because of his son. It's all because of what we celebrate right now. So because of knowing these things, This is what's required of us. You guys ready? The news of the gracious Savior requires man to act. Requires us to do something with it. How many of you know it doesn't do any good if you have something and you don't use it? Right? I have a gym membership, y'all. How's it working out right now? Not so good for me, right? Why? But I have a gym membership, right? I shouldn't have to worry about nothing. But it does me no good unless I use it. See, this scripture, we have this Bible. I'm going to tell y'all, in here, everything you need to get through life, every principle you need to be able to face the battles or the struggles or the things that you're going through is in this right here. But the problem is we don't use it. The problem is we don't access it. or like I've said about my iPhone or my iPad and all those things. Do you know what this thing was designed to do? Way more than just preaching on Sunday and playing a game every now and then, right? This does some amazing things, but because I'm ignorant of it, ignorance is not a bad word, it means you don't know, right? Because I'm ignorant of it, I can't use it to its full potential. Do you know what Christ did for us because we're ignorant of it? We don't know everything that he's done, everything that he paid for, every freedom that we have because we haven't gotten in here and found it. It's not that we don't own it. It's that we're not using it. It's not that when we come to Christ that everything the Father has given to us. We have access. It's like my dad, my mom. I go to her house. I'm like, Ma, can I borrow that? She's like, everything I have is yours. You can have anything you want in this house. Bring it back to my house so somebody else can use it, right? But everything I have belongs to you. You're my child. See, if we would get that process in our mind that everything God has belongs to us because he's accepted us, right? The sin is taken away from us. It's gone. And what do we do with it now? We're required to act. Luke 2:15 through 20 says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So God gave them something and they said, okay, great. We got sheep. So we're just going to hang out here. No. They said, man, this gift is given to us. Let's go see it. Let's go get it. Man, if we would just understand that when God gives us something, it's great to have it, but unless we access it, unless we use it, it does us absolutely no good. The sacrifice Christ paid for, he paid for everybody, for all of us. But if we don't access it, we don't use it. You know what? There's going to be, scripture says there's going to be some that don't come to him. There's going to be some that don't come to him. Doesn't mean we're not supposed to share. Doesn't mean we're not supposed to love him, because guess what? They're his children. They just haven't come to him. Right? The scripture says he doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everybody to come with him. But you know what? There's a scripture in the Bible or a parable that Jesus told where a man was having a wedding feast and he invited all these people, but they were too busy with other things to be able to come. Doesn't mean that it wasn't there and it wasn't prepared for them. They just chose not to access it. They chose not to receive it. They chose not to use it. Right? Christ paid for each and every one of us, man, and it's there for us to use. They got up and they said, hey, let's go. And when they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger, and when they saw it, they made it known, saying that it had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard wondered at it, at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered on them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all they had heard and all they had seen as it had been told to them. Do you know what I wondered? I wondered, how come the angels just picked three wise men and a couple of shepherds to come? Or was it that other people were told and chose not to show up, so we don't hear about them? I'm not saying that. You know, this is Toby's brain working, all right? This isn't coming out of the scripture, right? But I wonder, like, how many people were invited to come and chose not to show up? And because of it, they didn't get to see this amazing thing or didn't get to understand this gift that was so good that God has given to them, right? How many of us have been given something by God and because we're busy or because we don't have time or because we're too involved in this or we're too busy looking at life or other things? And those things may be super important. I'm not making them any smaller than what they are, but there's a place for everything in our lives, and God should be at the top of it. He's given us his son. He's given us his grace. And now with the wisdom that we have, that we've been given, what are we going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Hearing the good news of Christ, man must respond. We have to. And we respond in a couple of different ways. Just like we do with anything else, right? Yes, no, or maybe later, right? Those are the things that you hear when you give people the gospel of Christ. Yes, I accept him. No, I don't accept him. or I'm just not ready for that right now, right? We all respond, but this is the thing, man. We're never promised tomorrow, just to be honest. We're never promised another day, another moment. And in saying that, I don't want to just put that in a negative, saying, well, you need to come to him just because you don't know if you're going to be able to do it tomorrow. But that principle is not only for that, but it's for everything in life, right? I'm not promised to see my kids again tomorrow. I'm not. There's nowhere in the scripture that says I'm going to wake up tomorrow and see them. You know, nothing's going to happen, God forbid, please. But one of those principles, if I get too busy today to spend the time that I need with my kids, and then I don't get to see them again, who's that going to hurt? Me, right? We have people in our lives that we need to forgive. We have people in our lives that we need to get past certain issues and certain things because we're not promised another day, right? We're not promised another day. We need to take we need to take life and live it as if we don't have tomorrow. Not wild and crazy, but in the fact that we show people Christ, because you know what? They're not promised tomorrow either. We may still be there and they may not. Right? One of the regrets I have in my life, I had a cousin and he passed away. He was a bit older than me, but he should have never passed away. And you know what? It was right when I came to Christ, and it's probably like 20 years ago or something like that. And you know what hit me the first thing when I heard about it? Why didn't I tell him about Jesus? Like, why? Why did I not tell him? You know, the gift that we've been given is given to us not just so that we have it, but so that we access it, not only for ourselves, but we're able to give it to others, right? We're able to give it to others. We need to understand that because we have the knowledge, because God has given us this gift, because it is there, we have to act on it. We have to act on it. Hearing the good news requires us to respond. We can respond in many different ways. We see the shepherd's example, the urgency of seeking Christ. What did they do? They dropped everything and took off. Not, I'm sure he wasn't in the manger for a month, y'all. I mean, I'm just saying, right? Right? You guys with me? So that means however far away they were, they left in enough time to be there at the time that Christ was in the manger for them to be able to be there, right? If the scripture is true and they found him in a manger, right? How many times does God speak something into our lives now that's not for right this minute, but it's for us to find when we're obedient and we follow where he has for us to go? And it's not ready for us until we get there anyway, right? They showed us that it was important. They said, you know what? We're going to leave right now and we're going to go. We're going to go find this. This is important. Christ in people's lives is important. We need to share it with them. Again, there's going to be different ways that they respond. Some people are going to accept it. Some people are going to run away from it. Some people are going to say maybe later. But I'm going to tell you what, if you never say it, they can't remember it later, right? If you don't share Christ, you have 100% of them not accepting it when you give it to them, because you didn't give it to them, right? We need to share. He came so that we could have this gift. And this is the thing, the last one. This is kind of a cliche one, but it says, wise men still seek him. We still look for him. Listen, man, I gave my life to him 2001, right? Long time ago, seemed like now. It's one of those things. I gave my life to him then, but it doesn't make me stop looking for him everywhere I can. It doesn't make me stop getting in the Word and reading and going through things and finding things that I've read before and I've never seen them before. Does that make sense? I've read this whole Bible a couple times. You know what, the other day we read a scripture, I was like, I've never seen that before. Like, where did that come from? Who put that in there, right? Why? Because I wasn't ready either. I wasn't ready to accept it earlier, or God didn't show it to me because it wasn't that part. I didn't need it at that time, right? And if he'd have showed it to me back then, I'd have been like, all right, whatever. And I wouldn't have remembered it when the time came, just because that's the way my brain works, right? Y'all probably would have remembered it, but I wouldn't have. It's one of those things that we consistently, constantly have to be looking for him. The wise men, although our nativity scenes are really, really great, you know what? They didn't show up until a lot later, He wasn't in the manger then, if you look at history. It was down the road. They came and they found a toddler, if I remember right, right? Like, where's the manger? You have to go to the manger. That's where they said you were going to. No, right? They started their journey, and they were from a long ways away. They weren't like in the next neighborhood, right? They came from a distance. And again, they didn't stop until they found him. They didn't stop until they found him. They went to Herod. They told Herod all about it. I'm not going to read it because it's long. I'll put it in there. But you can go back and read it later. It's Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Right? They came around. They went and looked for him. They couldn't find him. Herod, they went and told Herod about him. He's like, I want to go see him too. You know what? Sometimes God gives us discernment about things that people say. Listen to it. Pay attention to it. Listen to it. Pay attention to it. But anyway, they keep walking. They keep going. They try to find him. And because of that, guess what? They were able to give him gifts, right? There's a lot of different logics on why we give gifts and what we're doing, and it's just consumer-minded and all those different things. And you know what? Don't give gifts if you don't want to. I like presents myself, so we give them out. And I love watching my kids opening. I love my kids getting. This is all the stuff they're like, Dad, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. I was like, look, I already got you what you got. You want that or this? I want what you got, right? They're smart enough to know, I want that, because it's probably going to be better than that. I learned that from my dad a long time ago. But it's one of those things that these wise men, they came and they brought gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It wasn't Frankenstein. That was my favorite part. And everybody misses it because they were laughing at the part where it says he gave him gold, frankincense, and it's a little Frankenstein. But anyway, I love that part. It's funny. And this donkey's fast. That's my favorite part. But anyway, they came and they gave him gifts. They came and they said, this is what we have, man. We want to give it to you. This is what we have. I want to give it to you. Psalms 107:43. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let him consider the steadfast love of the Lord. I'm going to read it to you really quick out of the Message Bible. You guys ready? If you are really wise, you will think over this. It's time you appreciated God's deep love. It's time we appreciated God's deep love. He loved us so much that what? He gave. He gave us his son. We celebrate it now. We celebrate it in a couple of days. And we give gifts and we give presents and we talk about all these different things. And this is the thing. The only reason why we know how to give anything is because God gave to us first. Guys, you guys can come on back up. We're going to stop. I'm going to stop. So in saying all of that, I want you to think this thought. There's a gift. It's been given to you. It's been given to me. How are we going to respond to it? What are we going to do with that gift? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to do a couple of different things here, but first of all, man, this morning, you've never received that gift. You've never accepted Christ, the love, grace, and mercy. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around, please. You be honest and say, you know what? That's me. I've never accepted it. I've never accepted it, and I want to know what it means to be free, to have peace in my life. To have light in the darkness of what is my life. You be honest and say, I need him this morning. Just put your hand up and put it back down. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. I want you guys to say this prayer with me again. I say this all the time, but it's not the prayer. The scripture tells us that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, then we'll be saved. I want you to repeat after me, everybody in here. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins, things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. Your word says that you sent your son so that I could have freedom, so that I could have forgiveness, and all I got to do is accept it. He was born, died, and he rose again
so that I could have access to you. And I accept it now. Help me be what you created me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. The next group of people I want to talk to are the ones that have received the gift but aren't using it. Maybe you don't know how. Maybe you get busy. Maybe you're just not quite sure what to do. Scripture tells us this, that if we ask, we'll receive. If we seek, we'll find. If we knock, doors will be open. And that's all because of the gift that he's given us, the grace that we have through Jesus Christ. This morning, man, you want God to show you. You want God to show you how to access and use that gift to the best of your ability, to your full potential. You want God to show you in the Word what this gift actually can do. And you want to use it. That's you this morning. Just put your hand up and put it back down. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Heavenly Father, man, your Word says if we ask, we receive. If we seek for you, we'll find. If we knock, doors will be open, God. Your Word says that. Right now, we ask that you would show us how to make the most, how to honor the gift that you've given us, how to use it in the right way, Father God, and how to share this gift with everybody we come in contact with. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I got one more thing for y'all to do. You ready? It says that when the shepherds, after they left Jesus, it says they went and told everybody about what God had told them, about what they had seen, and about what was going on in their life. Man, I want you to find some people, somebody, and share what God has done in your life. Listen, it don't matter if they laugh. It don't matter if they accept it. You know what? You might have to lead them in a prayer. You might tell them that, and they might be like, listen, I was asking God just to show me something, and to show me that he cared. You can't, right? Sometimes that's how it works. Be obedient, and let's go out and share Jesus. Let's remember why we're celebrating this season. Let's have a good time and enjoy life, because listen, this is what Scripture said. He came that we could have life and life more abundantly, right? We need to share that with others, man. So not only we have it, but they have it as well. Amen? All right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. And then don't forget, come and hang out with us Christmas Eve. Candlelight service. We're going to have a good time and just enjoy. And spend time with people, the important people in your life. Show them that they're important. Not just by your gifts or what you give them or how you do it, because it's not about all of that, man. It's about how we love each other, and because of that, we give out of the abundance of our heart. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we get ready to stand up, man, and sing one more song, and before we go out these doors, God, I ask that you would allow us to see you moving and working in our lives. I ask that you would give us right now, today, as soon as we go out those doors, opportunities to share how good you are to us, what you've done in our lives, so that others can know the goodness of your love, the importance of this gift that we celebrate, Father God, and that we get to use it, that we get to share your love, grace, and mercy. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody said?